Well, it's a play that I have a long history with. So on top of that, I love the story. It's a story that moves me on a daily basis when we're in rehearsal. It's magnificent.
What was your first encounter with it?
My first encounter with Christmas Carol. I was going to say I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm not embarrassed to say it. There was a television special. It was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, and when I was a little boy, that was my first introduction to it. And Kim Harvey, who's sitting over here, who's our artist in residence this year and who's assisting me on Christmas Carol, actually handed me a copy of it the other day. She tracked it down on the net, and some of it's very much the way I remembered it, and some of it's quite different, and they certainly changed a number of things, but there were many things about that I found extremely affecting, and the story came through very clearly.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but I love that.
Oh,
I love
really
Mr. Magoo. I mean, really, I did.
Glad.
And maybe it's just our generation. These were the things that introduced us to it first. Now, there's all sorts of versions of A Christmas Carol. What about yours? How did you come up with your adaptation?
Well, it was 1990. I had just been appointed artistic director at Theatre New Brunswick. I wanted to do Christmas Carol there, and I read a number of versions that, for various reasons, either they were too large for us, or many of them had narrators that I didn't really want somebody standing on the side of the stage telling, and then this happened, and then we have the scene. So I decided, kind of foolishly, I guess, to do my own adaptation. And essentially, I thought all I was doing really was just taking the dialogue from the book, and the designer, John Ferguson, he and I decided early on that we couldn't compete with film and television, and therefore we wanted to try to make it as theatrical as possible so that any magic that happened would happen in front of the audience. And so as a result, the audience would actually use their imaginations more and actually be that much more involved in the piece. This is now my 9th production, and it's a story I never get tired of working on and never feel that I have completely mined it. I'm always, with the actors, always discovering new wonderful corners.
What does that say about this story? Because you can imagine why it would have been spoiled. If it wasn't Mr. Magoo, it was Canadian Tire, for heaven's sakes. I mean, that's half of my childhood is, you know, is Canadian Tire lets you give like Santa and save like Scrooge. And honestly, that I hate to admit it, but people talk about which Scrooge is emblazoned in their mind. And for me, it's the Canadian Tire one. And yet, when I see it, it's amazing. The story still resonates. And you've been doing this for 22 years, 9 productions now. How does it still touch you and grab you and move you as a writer?
I think, I said this to Tom, who's playing Scrooge. I said, there's something about watching him watching that is profoundly moving. The him watching himself as a younger man, him watching the Cratchits who, you know, are suffering. But there's something about observing him observing that I find, I think that's what moves me more than anything else. The discoveries, the realizations, the heart that is reawakened in this man.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Shimada is the artistic director of the Belfry Theatre and the adapter and director of A Christmas Carol.